Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Seconds to go. We need a Minneapolis miracle. Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Off by Diggs. Stay up. Oh, got loose.
Oh, my God.
30.
No.
10. Touchdown. Are you kidding me?
Miracle finish.
It's a Minneapolis miracle. Oh, my God. No way. Oh.
And welcome to the State of Purple podcast. It is officially week four in the NFL, but before we move on to week number four, Jack, we look back to week number three. He's Jack Day. I'm AJ Munster. Like I said, this is the State of Purple podcast. We are doing a live interactive recording of this podcast. So if you are watching on social media right now, please feel free to comment in the chat below this player. And you can use your comment involved in the podcast and up on the screen for the video version of this recording. Jack Day, AJ Munster. Jack, we had a win. The Minnesota Vikings won this last weekend, 30-17 over the Seattle Seahawks. We had our initial reaction conversation right after the game. Now we've had a couple days to stew on it, look through it. I know you've got some things to talk about. I've got some things to talk about. But generally speaking, how good does it feel to get a win?
It feels good. I feel like just going into the week, looking forward to these shows, it makes it a lot easier to kind of get up and know, hey, we're talking about the Vikings today. And like I just said, it's eases you into the week. I am back at my normal recording space, so if you're listening and you listened after on Sunday, you're not going to be able to hear my dad blowing his Vikings horn in the background. So that's either a win or a loss, depending on how you felt about that. But yeah, I'm feeling good. I think it's going to be a fun week. We have a Cleveland.com reporter coming on the show on Thursday, so make sure to tune in to that as well. So first time kind of getting opposing takes, so that'll be a fun one as well. But looking forward to kind of dissecting and going back into this game, because like you said, it was a fun one to watch, and it makes getting up on Monday mornings a lot more fun.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. We'll get right into the topics of conversation. I don't know how we go much further without talking about the quarterback. Kirk Cousins, we've been hard on him. We've praised him through the years at the same time. But right now, Kirk Cousins is having the best start to his career as far as a three-game stretch goes. Jack, I have it up in the top on the title for the video stream. A question: is Kirk Cousins a top five quarterback? Because I asked top five specifically, because right now he's a top three quarterback when you talk about passer ratings on the season. So through three games, he's a top three quarterback behind Russell Wilson and I forget who it was, Derek Carr maybe. But top three quarterback, is he a top five quarterback? Because right now he's playing like it.
I think right now you just answered that question. I think he's playing like a top five quarterback right now. And I think the Vikings, I've seen this all over Twitter, the Vikings are a Dalvin Cook fumble and a 37-yard missed field goal away from Kirk Cousins potentially having his name thrown into the MVP conversation. I kind of wrote about that. I mentioned that in my article that's up on KFAN.com, just kind of highlighting how good this quarterback play has been for the Minnesota Vikings. And in my lifetime, I'm only 26, I know, but in my lifetime, this is the best I think I've seen, maybe outside of the magical Brett Favre season. This is the best I've seen a quarterback play. And not only is he playing at such a high level, there was a stat that came out last year or 2 years ago, maybe it was last year. He missed that one game that I think it was before the playoffs when they kind of knew they had that wild card spot. If it wasn't for that game, he would have set a record or tied a record with Fran Tarkenton as the only quarterback to start three consecutive seasons, all 16 games. So he's a durable quarterback. We've known for years that he's an accurate quarterback. I've gotten into several arguments already prior to this great start to his season that he's kind of borderline. I see him more as like a top 10 quarterback. I think there's quarterbacks that might not quite be playing as well as him right now that are still, I would take over Kirk Cousins. But I've always looked at him as a top 10 quarterback. And what we've seen over the first three games, he's playing lights out football. And not only is he playing lights out football, he's doing it with a different approach and style that we haven't seen before. Like I mentioned on the Sunday postgame show, that ball that he threw to KJ Osborne, it's circulating around Twitter, and that's for all the right reasons because that was one of the best throws that I've seen Kirk Cousins make. We've seen him sit in the pocket and deliver strikes. One that comes to mind is that Green Bay game a couple years ago where we threaded it between two Green Bay players and dropped a dime into Adam Thielen. We know Kirk Cousins can do that when he has the time in the pocket. I know the offensive line, that's a talking point for later in the show. The offensive line is playing well and giving him time, but even when the pocket starts to break down and he has pressure in his foot, he threw that one off his back foot, and he said in the post-game press conference that he just saw a blur of purple and he threw it to KJ Osborne and it was a dime. So that was fun to see. You go back a week into the Arizona where he kind of scrambled out to the left side of the pocket and found Justin Jefferson for a touchdown. He's playing differently. He's showing we've kind of called for him to use that mobile side of his game that I'm not saying he's necessarily the Kyler Murray of the world. He's not in that tier, but he's athletic enough to do stuff like that with his legs. And he did it in Arizona and he continued to do it against Seattle. And if that aspect of his game can continue to improve and kind of combine that with kind of how the direction the offensive line is going, I think Kirk Cousins could be in the MVP conversation at the end of the year if the Vikings start to turn their season around.
Well, I mean, as preposterous as that may sound, if he keeps playing like this, there literally is no argument that you can have. 918 yards through three games, 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, a 122.9 passer rating. He has not thrown an interception since week 14 of last season. So you mentioned something specifically, though, Jack, that I want to highlight is you said he's playing differently. You kind of said it in the context of his willingness to scramble. I think all of that comes from a different approach, a different mental approach to the game, where he seems to be taking it more seriously. And that's not to say he hasn't been taking it seriously, but there's something different about this Kirk this season. Like you could say he's laser focused. You could say he's all in. You could say that he's putting in the extra work to become the next step of a quarterback. Maybe he's heard the criticism. Maybe he's heard for years now that you can't take this team to the next level in Washington. You can't take this team to the next level in Minnesota. Maybe that's gotten to him finally. But something just seems different from the way he approaches each week. And we're seeing it with the execution in the games. Preseason's preseason. Who cares about that? When you get to the regular season, you see him turn it on. And we've seen three now, 2-minute drills, 2-minute drives that have led to points. The last field goal to tie the game in week number one, should have been the opportunity to win the game in week number two. And then you have the halftime 2-minute drive before the first half ended this last week, leads the team down the field. He goes into crunch time. They change it up a little bit. They did it without Dalvin this week. We'll talk about that in a second here too, but Kirk just seems to have something different, some different focus that when you do that and when you're the leader on this team, that trickles down and the other players are feeling it as well.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned those three times because as far as I could see, that didn't seem like it was garbage time for Kirk Cousins. And I know that's been kind of an area where people have said, hey, Kirk Cousins pads his stats in garbage time. He's balling out in critical moments right now where this team needs him and he's answering that. You just said that. You just read his stat line. I saw something differently about the QBR, and that could be a little bit of a different stat, but he was only behind Matthew Stafford, former NFC North quarterback, and right behind him was Teddy Bridgewater, also a former NFC North quarterback. So it's fun seeing those guys. Good seeing Teddy on that list as well. But Kirk Cousins with his stat line and kind of just those numbers that are indicating, I know there's efficiency charts out there that have him in the top right quadrant, which is phenomenal. It's like efficiency paired with PFF, and he's towards the top of that list as well. And like we just said, on top of it, he's playing more mobile. He's playing with a different edge. I kind of mentioned that when we were out at training camp, what was it, a month and a half ago, that Kirk Cousins was throwing touchdowns and going absolutely berserk with his teammates. And it just, he has a different edge to him this year that we haven't seen in years past. And so many fans have been calling for that. And it's finally here in Kirk Cousins, and it is clearly working for him on the football field.
For our second talking point, Jack, we look to a difference between this group of players on the offensive line from week one, where they looked terrible, penalties, no blocking, holding everybody that ran through, just mistakes up and down the field, to now 2 weeks in a row where they've looked very adequate. They've looked above adequate. They've looked pretty good. In fact, this offensive line has allowed one sack in each of the last two games on their quarterback. That means they're protecting him, allowing him to get time and see the field, down the field, as those routes come open. This week alone, there were so many opportunities where you can see that Kirk was actually getting time in the pocket. You mentioned the week before where he scrambled out and hit Justin Jefferson against the Cardinals. That happens, right? That'll happen. And if Kirk has the ability to do that, by all means. But the way the plays are designed are to keep him in the pocket, give him time to go through his progressions and hit the open target. We saw that this last week. There was one sack allowed this last week. In the last 2 weeks, the offensive line has blocked and opened up holes for rushing and running backs to get 317 yards. They're doing it on the ground. They're doing it through the air. That offensive line is playing pretty stinking well right now, Jack.
Yeah, and I think to kind of combine this with the Kirk Cousins stuff, Kirk Cousins hasn't had an offensive line that he can trust in his first 3 years of being a Minnesota Viking. If he can start to build that trust, I think it's just going to build his confidence and kind of this edge even more for him. And he's going to continue to kind of, he's going to be able to navigate the pocket more because he trusts, he has faith in his offensive line. And I don't think he's been able to say that in the last three seasons. I know it's kind of weird looking at offensive linemen because they don't pop up on the stat sheet. I don't know if I'm ready to call Rashad Hill elite quite yet. Still kind of hopeful that Christian Darrisaw checked in on him yesterday or last night. I checked in on him and it sounds like he is starting to get some teamwork. So I think that's a good sign for this team. But the highest graded offensive lineman against Seattle was the Vikings right guard. If I were to tell you that at the beginning of this season for any game if that were the case, I think people would be ecstatic about that. Ollie Udo has been a pleasant surprise there. I think his overall grade was like 80 something. It was like 80 point something. So 80 right on the dot, essentially. And on top of that, that right side of the offensive line, Brian O'Neill through the first three games has not allowed a pressure on Kirk Cousins yet. So if you can get Christian Darrisaw back on the left side and he is any sort of upgrade over Rashad Hill, I don't know if it's ready to be. It remains to be seen if that is actually going to be an upgrade. But they used a first round resource, which is a huge resource on Christian Darrisaw. He should be starting and you want him starting. You need to get that kind of development and the evaluation process started, because if he comes in here and he struggles right away and struggles throughout the entire season, that is still going to be an area of need in the 2022 draft class for this team. So you got to get him ready on this field and kind of assemble what you thought this offensive line was going to be. And it's an exciting unit. I don't want to jinx it like I did special teams a couple weeks ago, but the offensive line is heading in the right trajectory. And they're all, I think, under the age of 25 or 26, if I'm remembering correctly. They just locked up their best offensive lineman, Brian O'Neill, right at the beginning of the season. So this is a unit that, for once, Vikings fans can kind of start to build some confidence in. And they haven't been able to say that in several years, right. Excuse me.
No, and we were pretty hard on Garrett Bradbury that first week as well, rightfully so. I mean, he struggled. But even the last couple of weeks, Garrett Bradbury has looked like he's improved and has figured some things out, whether it's the way he carries his body weight or gets leverage on the defensive line that's coming in at him. There hasn't been that rush up the middle, and that was the problem in week number one, is the pocket collapses on the outside, and Kirk wasn't able to step up. He's been able to do that, and they've been able to hold that rush up the middle and simultaneously open up holes for the running backs. Great transition, AJ. To point number three, where we talk about Alexander Mattison and the game that he had, 112 yards, 26 carries, 5 catches, 59 yards. We were worried that when Dalvin Cook was ruled out of this game, Jack, that it was going to maybe push the needle in favor of the Seattle Seahawks. That wasn't the case. They still ran the ball all over them, and Madison got involved in the passing game as well.
Alexander Madison had a phenomenal game, and I just want to go back and kind of foreshadow next week's show or Thursday show. Gosh, I can't get that right. Thursday show, it's going to be interesting talking about this offensive line and how we feel, because I think they're going to have their hands full. It's going to be a bigger and more true test for this offensive line, so I'm looking forward to that. So make sure to tune in next or this Thursday as well. But yeah, Alexander Madison was phenomenal. He kind of showed an spitting image necessarily, because I said Dalvin Cook, it looks like he's just a little bit more slippery. He has a little bit more gas to him. But Alexander Madison, he played well, and he was hitting holes similar to what we're used to seeing with Dalvin Cook. Granted, the offensive line was playing well, opening up those holes. But Alexander Madison out of college, I had a lot of my friends that are more analytical-minded people saying this was a weird pick. They shouldn't have used a third-round pick on this running back out of Boise State. And I think he's gone against the analytics and kind of proven that he's worth that pick and he's worth that selection. And he kind of helped carry this team. I know Kirk Cousins is the one who actually carried this team, but Alexander Madison, having him as your RB2 behind someone when this is a run first football team and you can just plug and play him against, I'm not saying Seattle's defense is great by any means, but having Madison, it's kind of scary as a Vikings fan, kind of seeing him have games like this. Because you can't pay, people always talk about not being able to pay running backs top dollar. You can't pay two running backs good on high level contracts, and they already paid Dalvin Cook. So when his rookie contract is up, it's going to be interesting to see if he comes back to Minnesota or not. But for the time being, with Dalvin Cook still banged up, it's very positive knowing that we have Alexander Madison behind him. And I think Amir Abdullah should get some credit too. I know they kept talking about him on the broadcast. They wanted to get both his name out there and CJ Ham frequently. I know you were at the game, so you probably didn't hear that, but they were talking about CJ Ham regularly, and they were talking about how Kirk just, he gives all the credit in the world to Amir Abdullah. He's a true leader in that locker room. He can come in and he can run every single route in that route tree that the Vikings run. So just knowing that they have backups at that position when that position is so important to what this team wants to do, it should be a good feeling for Vikings fans. And at the same time, I know there's people saying, hey, maybe Alexander Madison is better than Dalvin Cook. Stop that. Let's not say that. Let's not get too far in front of ourselves. But we still want to get Dalvin Cook back out there. But like I said, for the time being, it's good knowing that the Vikings have a backup that's as good as Alexander Madison.
Absolutely. And Dalvin Cook does get banged up, right? We know that about his career, is he does have an injury history. And that's not to say that that's going to happen, but when you know that you have an opportunity, maybe he fits this Clint Kubiak offense a little bit more than he has in the past. Cause we've seen him come in and not really find his oats when he comes in for Dalvin Cook. He had that one game against Seattle last year, just had the one cut to the wrong direction. I believe that was another 112-yard game, actually. Seeing how he fit into this and how he was a factor in this offense with Kirk playing the way he is, with Clint calling the plays that he is, it really gives you some opportunity to say, hey, this could be something there. And another position that we've had to see the backups come in, and we've had to have maybe some encouragement when it comes to, we've heard for years now that the tight end is going to be a focal point of this offense. We're going to run two tight end sets. We're going to do this. They're going to be involved in the passing game. Had high hopes for Irv Smith Jr. This year. He got injured. Was that the first game or the final preseason game? Final preseason game, if I'm not mistaken. He gets injured. He's out for the year. I saw him in the press box. He was up in the booth. He was getting some lunch during halftime. He had a big wrap on his knee. He was walking on crutches. And he was wearing an Irv Smith Minnesota Vikings basketball jersey. So just, you know, it looked pretty cool, but it was kind of weird seeing them wear their own jerseys when they're not on the football field. But that being said, Tyler Conklin comes in this last week, 7 catches, 70 yards, and the touchdown. Tyler Conklin, what really excites me, Jack, is the prospect of when Irv comes back and you have Tyler Conklin running those two tight end sets, being able to keep teams honest on defense, whether, you know, it's not always we're going to run the ball when Tyler's in there and we're going to pass the ball when Irv's in there. They'll have the opportunity to do some things when Irv gets healthy.
Yeah, and on top of that, they're going to be able to give a lot of different looks that they haven't really been able to give in the past, because they've been lacking that wide receiver three position too. So they can give that, they can come out in 12 personnel, they can have three wide receiver sets out there and really try to give defense different looks. I think this was awesome. I think Tyler Conklin, this game was just, it was just a moment or a matter of time for when he was going to get a game like this. Every time I talked to my source this summer during training camp, it was like, hey, yeah, Irv Smith Jr. is having a phenomenal training camp. That's kind of what everyone's talking about. He was the rave of the Vikings training camp this summer. But he's like, don't be surprised if you see Tyler Conklin's name start to pop up more and more as well, because he had a phenomenal summer. So it's cool seeing him. All the hard work, it's paid off. And he looked, I think with Kyle Rudolph, we were a little bit spoiled with elite red zone presence with Rudolph, but they never really had that like athletic tight end that can really do the damage for you in between the 20s. And I didn't really know if Tyler Conklin was that, but on Sunday, it looked like he has enough athleticism to kind of be that threat on all phases of the offense, blocking within the 20s and in the red zone. That's where his touchdown came from. So it was cool seeing him get that. I'm excited, like you, for whenever the time comes when Irv Smith Jr. is back in this offense, because like you said, both of them would be potentially, I guess I can't say that because we haven't seen Irv Smith Jr. yet, but he was supposed to have this breakout season. And if Tyler Conklin has that breakout season instead of him, and then Irv Smith Jr. comes back in 2022 and has a great training camp, this offense is going to continue to be a fun one to watch down the road.
Oh, absolutely. And in complementary styles between Tyler Conklin and Irv Smith Jr. Conklin, when he runs, he looks a little more clunky. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but he looks like Kyle Rudolph running. He looks like Jim Kleinsaucer running. Bigger bodies, stronger bodies, thicker bodies. Kyle Rudolph was not a blocking tight end, but he always looked like he was a little slow. And that doesn't mean he was slow, but he looked slow. Tyler Conklin looks like that. Irv Smith, when he runs, he looks like a wide receiver, honestly. He glides a little bit better. His movements are more fluid, and you have that there. So I'm excited for the opportunity to get those two out there at the same time. It won't be till next year, but at the same time, that is a prospect of something that you can look forward to. And anytime you see somebody step up in an opportunity like Tyler Conklin, like Alexander Mattison, your team is better with that depth. Your team is better when there are more people that can step in to give somebody a rest, to come in and offer two tight ends, two running back sets, whatever that is. Again, it keeps the variables on offense going and keeps the defense honest, if not guessing. The Minnesota Vikings defense, they did a little bit of guessing in that first half and struggled to what we thought was going to be a very, very high-scoring game.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And then they completely clamped down, halftime adjustments. They didn't allow any points to the Seattle Seahawks in the entire second half. They got out to 17 quick points, and then they stayed there the rest of the game. What do you think went into the improvement of the defense, specifically in the second half, but in general in this game?
Well, in the second half, they created more of a spark at getting to Russell Wilson, and that doesn't necessarily reflect it in the box score because they didn't bring him to the ground 4, 5, 6 times like you'd like to see out of your defensive line. But I think I saw Danielle Hunter had like 7 pressures and 4 quarterback hurries, 3 quarterback hits. And I just wanted to take, when I saw this as a bullet point, I wanted to take a little bit of time to talk about this individual who completely came in and gave this defense a spark that it was lacking. The Minnesota Vikings have missed that Everson Griffin spin move. And when he got Russell Wilson down to the ground, I think he had a pressure right the play prior to him getting that sack as well. They've needed that from the outside. He doesn't necessarily need to start at that position. I know DJ Wanham has kind of had his ups and downs. Haven't really gotten to see what we were hoping to see because he was one of the rave guys that are in training camp, and he hasn't really had that season. It hasn't really transitioned like it has with the Tyler Conklins. But seeing Everson Griffin come on the field and with fresh legs and hit that spin move was a great feeling. And I know a lot of Vikings fans felt the same way because that presence was missed last year. They weren't able to get pressure on opposing quarterbacks last year with the defensive line they had. They were lacking. They didn't have Danielle Hunter. They didn't have Everson Griffin. They didn't have Michael Pierce or Dalvin Tomlinson. So getting all four of those guys, and then Steven Weatherly back as well. I'd like to start seeing more of Patrick Jones II if DJ Wanham doesn't start to turn his season around. But Everson Griffin, it was cool seeing him. And I want to see this team start to make some of these open field tackles. I think that's one of the critiques I have for this defense. And that kind of started week one, happened in Arizona, and it happened a couple times against Seattle too, where there's open field tackles. I think Xavier Woods had one where he had a chance to bring Chris Carson down, missed the tackle, and Chris Carson ends up scoring a touchdown. That stuff needs to be fixed if Zimmer wants this defense to turn around and be anything close to kind of what he's had in the past. But it's a good feeling that they have a complete second half to build off of going into the Browns game this coming Sunday, because we haven't seen anything like that. They've been shootout games. I guess the Cincinnati game wasn't necessarily a shootout, but that Arizona game, they couldn't stop anyone. And it kind of starts to feel like they were able to turn it around in the second half. I think it has something to do with the fact that the offense was easily able to control the time of possession. But if the offense is going to continue to play at the level that it's playing at, this defense has to find a way to kind of bounce back into its old version of itself, like the old school, typical Mike Zimmer style of defense that they want to find success. And I still have faith in Mike Zimmer at the head coach position. I know there's a lot of people that are starting to lose that faith, but he still has it was a hard task for him to kind of get all of these veterans and have them gel together. We're 3 weeks into the season. It's a long season. And like I said, they have something to build off now. So I'm looking forward to see how that carries over into week four.
I'm going to use this comment from Kyle in the chat. He's watching on YouTube. Hey, Kyle, to use as a transition to our next point here. He comments on the defense in the second half, but then he notes at the end that he's tired of seeing Breland get beat and wants Cam Dantzler to get put into the game. Now, Jack, you know, another person who wants Cam Dantzler put in the game is Cam Dantzler. And Cam Dantzler made that pretty clear with a tweet that he has since deleted after the game, basically saying, I'm tired of staying quiet. He can't handle the situation. And he's very frustrated. So frustrated, he's taking himself to Twitter. Now, he put out a second tweet saying that my life is not football, or I sometimes tweet about other things in my real life as well. Good team win, blah, blah, blah. That one has also been deleted. Mike Zimmer yesterday said that he was going to have a conversation with Cam Dantzler. I don't think he's fooling anybody when he says that the tweets were not about the situation. But when you do look at that situation, Jack, is it time, you know, whether he's handling the situation poorly or not, if you need to win games, is it time to put Cam Dantzler in instead of Bashaud Breland?
I don't think so now after this. I think this team and Mike Zimmer, like I said, I agreed with what that comment said last week. I wanted to see more of Cameron Dantzler. This is another situation that I kind of checked in on and just was surprised at the answers that I got, kind of saying this is something that an NFL team doesn't really have time for. And Mike Zimmer doesn't strike me as an individual that wants to play games via social media. We saw it with Stephon Diggs. We saw that there's truth to all rumors. And hey, there's stuff that I tweet about in my life. It was very eerily similar to what Stephon Diggs was doing, sending out cryptic tweets. And I just don't think that front office has any time to kind of play those games. And honestly, I'm not going to be extremely shocked. I'm not sitting here saying I'm going to call this and say it's going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if there starts to be more rumors of a potential Cameron Dantzler trade. I know San Francisco reached out to the Vikings, I think last week or 2 weeks ago after the Cincinnati game when he was a healthy scratch. They checked on his availability, and that's going to be a frustrating thing for the Vikings. They lost their fourth round pick in that Herndon trade. So what would they get in a return for Cameron Dantzler? I don't think they're just going to give him away for free. He was a third round pick last year. But if he's not playing, what is another team going to be willing to give up for him? I'm interested to see that. Like I said, I'm not sitting here saying it's going to happen, but I would not be surprised if this Vikings front office is just done with the games and they're like, you know what? If you're going to continue to do this, we're going to trade you. You can go play somewhere else and send those cryptic tweets somewhere else so we don't have to deal with it anymore.
But Jack, depth at cornerback is so thin in the NFL, let alone on this team. And whether or not we agree with what he's doing and his antics, Bashaud Breland is struggling big time. And I don't know if you know, the one thing about the defense, okay, the defense clamped down in that second half. They didn't allow a point, yada, yada, yada. You've heard this adage before. The best defense is a good offense. And what really happened is the defense played a little bit better, but the offense had long sustained drives that kept the ball out of Russell Wilson's hand. So as much credit as we want to give to the defense, we really need to give credit to the offense that simply kept the ball away from Seattle. If Seattle doesn't have the football, they can't score. You know, obviously pick sixes and whatever happened, but in reality, offenses score points. And if you don't give the ball to the Seahawks offense and Russell Wilson, they're not going to score points. Your defense doesn't have to worry about it. They can stay fresh. They can stay rested. They can stay on the sideline. So if the Vikings continue these long, drawn-out drives, conversions on third downs. At one point, Kirk was 5 for 6 on third downs early in the third quarter. That factors in. Run game factors in. Involving the running backs in the passing game factors in. And then you have the opportunity to dagger on third down conversions to Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Tyler Conklin to convert and continue those drives. That's the best tool that this Minnesota Vikings defense is going to have, is Kirk Cousins and the offense running long, sustained drives and keeping the ball away from the opponent. So when you look at the Cleveland Browns and what they can do, you know, we're scared of their defense. We're scared of Jadeveon Clowney. We're scared of Myles Garrett, the pressures and the things that they had against the Bears last week. It was against the Bears. Like, let's remember that. So we're not going to look too far ahead. We'll do that on Thursday. But the thing that they have to do, this team has to do to continue being successful this season and continue being competitive this season, is the recipe that they put out there this last week. Stay in the game in the first half and then continue these long drawn-out drives just simply to keep the ball away from the opposition. Jack, that takes us to what we'll call our final point of the day, and we can go a little elongated here, but how much has your outlook changed on this year? Because now that we look at it, yeah, they started 0-2, but like you said, they were very close to winning those two games. One of them against a good team, one against a bad team. So they have an opportunity to be 3-0. They beat a decent team, let's call them just decent, in the Seattle Seahawks, but they beat them convincingly. Things are starting to click for this team. 2 weeks ago, not 1 week ago, we were calling for, 0-4, potential coaching change, potential quarterback change, general manager change, all of the above. 1 week, how much has your outlook changed when you look towards the playoffs and towards the future of this team?
I think it's changed quite a bit, but I'll say that while also saying it can change for the worse rather quickly with another. If they come out and lay an egg against the Browns, I think we're going to be having similar conversations to what we had after that Cincinnati game. Right. And by the way, I don't know if I'm ready to say necessarily if Cincinnati is a bad team. They just kind of embarrassed Pittsburgh. I know there's a lot of people in Pittsburgh that
Pittsburgh's a bad team.
Yes, Pittsburgh's a bad team. It seemed odd to me that they brought Ben Roethlisberger back, and I think they're starting to feel that that might not have been the right decision. But I think the outlook has changed. They have back-to-back home games after the Seattle, 3 straight home games. They have Cleveland, and I think it's Detroit following that game. Those are 2 winnable games. After they beat Seattle, I think Cleveland has had an up-and-down season so far. I think they're 2-1. They did just come out off a game where I think the Bears had less than 1 net passing yard. Justin Fields' debut was ugly. Their offensive line was ugly. Every single media outlet was talking about how Matt Nagy should probably no longer have a job in Chicago. So the Bears season, that season is quickly dwindling, and I think the Vikings have a chance. Obviously, the Lions just lost in even more heartbreaking fashion than how the Vikings have lost this year. But they have a chance to kind of climb back into this NFC North and kind of get it back to how we figured this season was going to go in the NFC North, with it being the Packers or the Vikings. It's going to come down to those two teams. And I think the Vikings, kind of looking at the outlook, what needs to happen for this team to continue to ascend and go in the right direction? One, first and foremost, the offensive line has to continue to play how they played the last two games, and they're going to have harder tests. They play the Rams at one point in the season. Garrett Bradbury is going to have to go up against Aaron Donald. How do they answer to teams like that, where they're going to be able to actually get pressure to Kirk Cousins? Can he continue to play mobile when he knows he has guys, like you said, Myles Garrett or Jadeveon Clowney running after him? Is he going to be able to continue to play how he's played in the last 3 games? And on the other side of the ball, we talked about this a little bit already, but the defense is going to have to get things figured out. This is a defensive-minded head coach leading this football team, and right now it's the offense that has carried the team through the first 3 weeks. I've said this since the Vikings have had Kirk Cousins. He was looked at as the missing piece in 2018, and I don't think that's necessarily always fair, because the NFL is such a weird thing. Every single year it's different, and that defense after that 2017, after that NFC Championship game in Philly, I think different is putting it lightly, how that defense started to look. Xavier Rhodes kind of lost strides, and then they lost everyone the following year. Now he brought back all of these pieces. Mike Zimmer, I'm talking about, brought back all of these pieces, guys that he wanted, that he thought he could rebuild his defense with. those veterans have to start figuring things out, because you've seen the stats about rookies not playing, and I'm not panicking about that. I think that's a good thing for the defense, that they're kind of easing them into this football team, or onto the football field, excuse me. And I don't know if we have another point. I know we talked about this a little bit prior, but they need to get Anthony Barr back on that field as well, because he is the, like I've said in shows past, he is the signal caller. He's huge in run support. And I don't think with what this defense is starting to do with giving more 3-4 looks, I don't think they're going to have to ask Anthony Barr to be out in coverage as much as they have in years past. They have Eric Kendricks, they have Nick Vigil, and they play a ton of nickel as well. So you're not going to have to put Anthony Barr in coverage. I think you're going to be able to utilize him strictly in the run game and getting pressure to the quarterback and those blitzes. I still love like the A-gap blitzes that Mike Zimmer always, he always gives that look, whether they're actually blitzing or not. But when it's Kendricks and Barr, albeit Nick Vigil has played very well, when it's Kendricks and Barr, it's a little bit more scary than Kendricks and Vigil. So I'm excited to get him back on the football field. That secondary has to continue to improve, or has to improve. Patrick Peterson, he's kind of been a roller coaster. He's had some good plays, had some bad plays. I don't think Rashad Breeland has really had any good plays. He almost forced a fumble against Seattle, but it turned out his knee was down. He has to turn things around. Sounds like he is playing a little bit banged up. I don't think that's an excuse. He's been getting burnt. I don't know if he necessarily – did he get burnt badly? I think there was kind of a situation where he was playing like 9 yards off of DK Metcalf when DK Metcalf scored that first touchdown. I don't know if that's him playing back, if that's Zimmer telling him to play back. I don't necessarily think that's Breeland's fault if Zimmer had him there, because he was kind of saying that on the sidelines. He's like, what do you want me to do? I didn't get to press him at all. I didn't get my hands on. I don't have the speed. DK Metcalf is a freak athlete. He doesn't have a speed to break on an out route and contend that ball with DK Metcalf. So that was kind of frustrating. I know a lot of people were blaming that on him, but I don't necessarily know that was his fault. That might have been more of a schematics thing on the defensive side of the ball. But I think that's a key point. If this season wants to continue to get better and this team wants to continue to get some wins on the board, the defense is going to have to play better, because they're not going to be able to – the offense is not going to be able to do what they did against Seattle, against every single defense. Seattle's defense has been atrocious as well. So they're going to have some – they're going to have their hands full with some of these other defenses they're going to start going up against, and that will be a lot more of a true test for this football team.
No, absolutely. And we'll cut it off there, just because we could start previewing very easily for next week, but we'll save that for Thursday. We will be monitoring the Dalvin Cook situation, the Anthony Barr situation, the Christian Darrisaw situation. Follow KFAN.com and KFAN on Twitter, as well as Jack_H_Day on Twitter and AJKFAN on Twitter. We'll have the latest for you as the week progresses and as we learn more about what this next week will look like. And like Jack mentioned, we'll have a special guest on Thursday from the other side to give us a little insight into what the Cleveland Browns have been looking like, how they've been winning games, and maybe how they've struggled as well, to see what this matchup will look like for week number 4 at US Bank Stadium. The Minnesota Vikings looking to get to 500, which is something I didn't think we would say last week. So a good thing. And I think we are turning the corner. So it will be more fun, like Jack mentioned. Before Jack Day, I'm AJ Mansour. This is the State of Purple Podcast. We'll see you on Thursday. Bye.
10 seconds to go. We need a Minneapolis miracle. Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Off by Diggs.
Stay up.
Oh, he got loose.
Oh, my God.
30.
No.
10. Touchdown.
Are you kidding me?
Miracle finish.
It's a Minneapolis miracle. Oh, my God. No way. Oh.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.